Thanks for joining us on the Father's House Podcast, where we are bringing hope and impacting our community by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We're so glad you're here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe your life will be transformed through this week's message. So let's jump right into it.
Thank you. Thank you. I called Pastor Andrea earlier in the week, and I said, Pastor Andrea, how am I supposed to stand up there and not cry? And she said, well, get all those out now so that you can get through what you want to say when you're up there. So thanks for that great advice. So I hope I got them all out. Anyway, for those of you that I've never had the privilege to meet, I am Lisa Humphreys, and it gets to be my job to be the administrator of Kids City Learning Center. As Pastor Terry said, the church decided the next generation was the most important use of the Impact Center. So it got to be my job, my opportunity, to fill that up with kids Monday through Friday, to make a difference in the lives of the children and the families and our staff. So we set to work and we put programs in place to make that happen. Always remembering Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. When I say there are so many people that I need to thank today that have been a part of this ministry in the last 10 years, there's no way that I can possibly thank all of them. I would like to start with the original KCLC board, Dr. Rita Wildhaber, Robin Mitchell, and Sue Nash. They hired me. They're in the original picture up here of the ribbon cutting, and we would not have gotten accredited the first time if it hadn't have been for Dr. Rita and her 40 plus years of education experience that she brought to us. Yeah. Although I was hired to be the director, I realized right away that I wasn't the director, that we needed somebody with the knowledge and experience that could take us to where we needed to go. And so we hired Amber Tate, who led us for the first 5 years and laid a very firm foundation that we still stand on today because of her. This little baby right here with Miss Brenda, that's Amber's little boy. He was our very first baby we ever had at Kids City Learning Center. I think he's in fifth grade now. So when Amber and I got to work, we decided that we needed enrichment programs in our school, things that were different that would set us apart from what was happening at other preschools in our community. And so we put together some enrichment programs. The top picture up there, that is Pastor Tim, the OG Wednesday worship teacher, as he was for us. We sang and danced and learned about Jesus, and Pastor Tim taught me how to bring Bible stories to life. Thank you, Pastor Tim, for that. And then there was Miss Brenda, and she brought her passion for gardening to our littles, and they would grow things, and then they would get to eat them. How cool was that? They would sample the food. And then there was Miss Sharon. Miss Sharon and her love for music and the Lord brought harmony to everything that happened in that building next door. As we grew from 2 to 20 to 100, each season came with joys and challenges. We received our first accreditation, and we did it again 5 years later. We put in 2 playgrounds. We removed a playground. We put in an outdoor play area between the buildings. We put in an indoor play place in the building. But all the time, through all the joys and all the challenges, we always remember that God's plan was perfect in what we were doing, and that our primary purpose was to love and educate, not just ABCs and 1-2-3s, but God made them, God loves them, and Jesus wants to be their friend forever. When it was time for Amber to advance in her childcare career, after she survived COVID with us, she trained and turned over the helm to Dorothy, and as Pastor Kevin said, we just keep getting better together. As the administrator of Kids City Learning Center, my number one goal every day has been for the families that we serve. Not only do they get an incredible education and love, but that we give them a faith foundation. And just to pause and brag a little bit about our program, our VPK program, when they graduate from there and they go on to school, they test at kindergarten level and above, not preschool when they leave here, but we had students this year that tested at second and third grade reading level when they left our program. That's right. As children graduate from Kid City, as they go to school with their older siblings, as they move on, they will always be a part of Kid City. They will be our friends forever. We're just thankful for the opportunity and the time that we had to be with them. And we pray that the foundation that we planted will take root and grow with them. And I can't wait to see what the next 10 years looks like. But today we get to celebrate. If you've ever been any part of Kid City at 12:30, we're going to take a picture out in front of the Impact Center. You prayed for us. You brought a kid. If you've been a part of Kid City Learning Center, please come and be a part of that picture with us. After that, we're going to have a party for our kids. We're going to have carnival games and crafts and 10 years of a wall of fame through the building. So make sure you take a look at all of those pictures. Now I'd like to welcome Jimmy and Sam to the stage. They are known and loved by us all here at the Father's House. Their story is the perfect example of why the vision of Kid City Learning Center is so important to the ministry of the Father's House.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It feels good to be back here. I'm so happy to be here. For those of you that we have not had the pleasure to meet yet, my name is Samantha, and this is my husband, Jimmy, and we have been a part of the Kid City family for the last 10 years. When we first found Kid City, we had just moved to Florida, and we were looking for childcare for our oldest daughter, Jordan, who is this little with the blue backpack here. She was the first girl enrolled at Kid City next door. So since that time, we've added two more children to our family, and this picture here is our oldest two daughters, Jordan and Charlotte, who are now 10 and 8, and fully daddy's girls. And then we also have a 4-year-old son named Oliver, and he loves his mama. So all of our kids really grew up. I mean, Kid City was a co-parent to us and the time that they spent here. So to say that Kid City has impacted our lives is truly an understatement. I brought a tissue with me. I make no guarantees to not cry. So many of you have heard our testimony and you've witnessed Jimmy's walk through his sobriety and his relationship with Jesus. And he may touch on that, I'm not sure. But Jimmy has always said that Jesus and Jordan saved him, our oldest daughter. And so we all know that Jesus saves, but Jordan was able to help save him because she attended Kid City Learning Center. So without going too much into our past and giving too much detail, when I found Kid City and we enrolled in Jordan and Kid City, I was of course invited to church here by my very dear friend Lisa and another Michelle Brown worked next door. And that is a conversation I will never forget. You may not know this, but when I first started attending church here, I attended by myself for almost a year before Jimmy would come with me. He had no desire to even come sit, come soak in what was being said. He didn't even want to come when they served donuts out front. That didn't get him. Until December of 2016. So how many of you have ever attended a Christmas service here? Yeah, it might be easier to see who hasn't attended a service so that we can come for you after. But what joy it brought to see all those little kids up on stage this morning worshiping Jesus. And so if you've been to a Christmas service, you know that that's how we open service on Christmas Eve, is seeing all of the preschoolers next door and all of the kids and TFH kids just come worship and love Jesus. So when our daughter was 18 months old, she was invited to come sing on stage on Christmas Eve. And do you know who wasn't missing that performance? Her daddy. So Jimmy came, I think his first time here was Christmas Eve in 2016. And so a lot has happened since then, and we started attending, and Jimmy started dipping his toe in the water. So we later then joined a parenting group through Kid City. Then we led a life group. And then we started serving. Then we hosted a marriage conference, because my friend here has big faith in what we can do. And then somebody handed my husband a microphone and put him on stage on a Sunday morning. And so here we are today. So there are so many things that have happened in our lives over the last 10 years that led us to where we are. And I can't even begin to imagine, and I don't even ever want to think about what our lives would be if we did not come through the doors of Kid City Learning Center 10 years ago.
Stop it.
Stop it. Got my tissue?
Oh, I'm good.
All right.
I just want to take, give me a second. I wasn't expecting that. I just want to take a minute and just pray over KCLC and the Impact Center and all the staff. Heavenly Father, we just lift up the Impact Center and KCLC next door. We lay it at your feet, Lord. It's been amazing what passion and love you put in the people that had affected that building and the people that come through it. I just want to continue to put a desire for the next generation, the people that step in there, whether they're Monday through Friday staff, the administration, or just families coming in for Sunday service, Lord. We just continue to hope and pray that every opportunity the volunteers and the people next door have, that they can just affect the next generation and just put that foundation of love and hope in Jesus, that they can go forward in life and lean on that foundation in times of trouble. So we just lift up everyone that was included in there from the start until now and in the future, Lord. We lift them up. Continue to give them that desire to affect the next generation, Lord. All these things in your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh. Love you.
Love you. God, I kiss you.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be this tough tattoo guy up here crying. Ooh, that was rough. Yeah, right? Welcome back. All right. Those of you who don't know me, Jimmy Strasser, moved away 2 months ago to South Carolina, a new adventure with my occupation. Those of you who don't know as well, I work in the federal prison system, so deal with the evil in this world on a day-to-day basis. So today I want to kind of go into what Next Door is and kind of how people are a heartbeat, right? If you are a follower of Jesus, people are your heartbeat, trying to love on another and build a kingdom. All right, so who we are and who we surround ourselves with matters, right? So there's a power in choice, a power in who we pick to be every single day and who we surround ourselves with. John chapter 13, 34 and 35 says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." And that couldn't be more true today. Our recent events within the world, not to get too political, but the Charlie Kirk incident showed you how far this world has drifted in the wrong direction. It shows you how much more we need to go out in the community and love each other, love on each other, and pray for each other, right? Keep bringing up that word love. Is love a feeling, or is love a choice? Right? It starts as a feeling, right? Start seeing that someone that you enjoy their presence, where girl or guy, right? Your loved one, the soon to be loved one, right? You almost borderline lust, right? You can't get it. There's something about that person you can't do without. Then the honeymoon phase goes away. Now comes that choice. Do I stick with them? Or do I chase that feeling again? Same with our careers, right? When it gets monotonous, you're in a low season of your career, do I stick it out or do I go to something else? Do I love where I'm at in this position, in this job? Or is there something else that I think I should be doing? So developing good decision-making skills, right, the power of choosing what is right, starts next door with the KCLC Impact Center when they're little. Showing them good choice-making skills by choosing Jesus and his path. Every day, we have the ability to make choices. Crucial one is every morning, right? Thanking God for another day and choosing to love ourselves. Right. If we don't pursue him and choose to love ourselves, we're not going to be able to love on other people. Right. We're going to start becoming judgmental instead of trying to help them whatever they're going through. It's one of the most powerful skill sets we can develop as humans is good choice-making skills. Yeah, so good. I want to quote a great school administrator here. How many Harry Potter fans we got? How many people know Albus Dumbledore? All right. He says, "It is our choices, Harry, that show what we truly are, far more than our abilities." The choices we make show who we truly are. A crowd full of people up on stage like this, I could say whatever I want. But when we go out those doors, Monday through Saturday, the choices I make are going to show people what I truly am. So choice is a form of action. It's, in my opinion, has three phases, right? Starts with that feeling. And it's going to move into a thought. And then it's going to cause an action, right, to implement that choice we decided to make. So with that feeling, where does that emotion or feeling develop? Where does it start? Right here in our hearts, right? Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the rest of your life. Guard your heart above all else. So if I want to guard it, I'm going to have to get in the Word every day.
That's right.
Pursue Him every day. Right. That way I guard my heart with things that I know are true and staying away from Instagram, Facebook, what's it called now? X? Is that Twitter? X? All right. True Social, whatever the president's thing is. All right. Staying away from those and getting in the Word so that way I can surround my heart with good things. Because if we do not do that, I'm going to feed into that feeling. I'm going to post something crazy on social media. I'm going to use all those people in the world that aren't believers to just boost what I want. They're going to show me favor in what I'm thinking. And that's going to make me spiral further down that rabbit hole. Right? So after that feeling, we develop a thought. If it wasn't for my daughter and KCLC getting me to start having feelings, if you will, and then 10 years later, I'm up here crying on stage, it would have been possible. I used to fly off the handle with an anger call or a feeling called anger. It came, I was no thinking, whatever came to mind spewed out my mouth. There was no process on it. I couldn't stop and take that deep breath, think of what God wanted me to do or wanted me to say. I couldn't process it. And as I tell my wife, she's a saint, but those times where she says, "I want to have an argument," I couldn't. Because emotionally, I would just say whatever to win the argument. It could have been completely false, but I'm going to win. So now I've gotten to the point of where, take a deep breath. Hey, I can't talk about it now. Right. Let me process, pray on it. Right. Figure out what I'm feeling and what needs to be said.
Right.
So after that feeling, right, develops into a thought. Bad thoughts may blind us or lead us astray to what is actually true. As I mentioned, right, putting that thought on social media, letting the world decide what your thoughts and actions should be. Right. Bad thoughts, one thing I struggled with a while ago, sometimes still do in a low point in a season I may be in, comparing myself to others. Right? Because we only see the highlights online. We don't see the struggles they go through day to day to get to that point. Right? Matthew chapter 7 talks about the two paths, right? The narrow versus the wide. We learn on that social media and those thoughts, the bad thinking, we're going to take that wide path. The easy route versus focusing on Him and following that narrow path. So when we have those feelings and thoughts develop, we need to be intentional in focusing on Him through your life groups, accountability partners, right? Just your daily Bible plans within the YouVersion Bible app if you have it. It brought me to Philippians 4:8. Where it says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Where are we sending our praise to? I know it's been mentioned many times on this stage, especially on Sundays now during football season. We'll hoot and holler for our teams on Sunday from our couch, but we'll sit stoic and silent when we're praising Jesus with the worship team. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For me, with the Charlie Kirk incident, I pay way too close attention to social media. Spiraling almost, if you will, right? Going Old Testament. There was things I was thinking that I should be doing, but it wasn't the right answer. Right? So I had to shut my phone off for a while. I couldn't go on there and just see all the hate that was spewed from either side. So I had to close that off and then focus back on Jesus and what is true. So we focus on him. Now we want to turn those feelings and thoughts into actions, right? Our choice is made. I know Mr. Dwight Bain, if you had the pleasure of listening to him speak, he's mentioned up on here before during some of his teachings, right? The choose your heart. Yes. How many people have heard that before? Choose your heart, right? So taking risks is hard. Living with regret is harder. So choose your heart. Saying no is hard, right? Hurting someone else's feelings potentially, saying no is hard. But feeling drained and exhausted is harder. So choose your heart. If you're spilling everything out into the people around you, leaving nothing from yourself, for me, I still sometimes struggle with this of a couple of interviews I've had for the position I have now, I said I am trying to think of how I worded it. Basically, something about being loyal. I was loyal to a fault because I was willing to sell myself for an agency I know if something happened to me would put my job online the next day. And in turn with that, I was leaving nothing left for my wife and kids. So choosing what you spend your time and devote all your time and energy into matters. So choose your heart. Here's a good one. Communication is hard. Saying the hard things, whether you want to say it and they want to hear it or not, communication is hard. But not communicating is harder. So choose your heart. When we don't communicate, who's going to spiral on their own emotion, their own feelings? Right. You are. Right. So the best you can, without being too negative, communicate what you feel is right and what you prayed upon.
That's right.
Starting over is hard. Feeling stuck is harder. So choose your heart. When I have those times of choosing my heart, I like to remember the first part of Psalms 28:7, where it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. That's one of the things I fall back on. Because it reminds me that he's what truly matters. So I go to him. Because if it weren't for struggles, pain, or heartbreak, you wouldn't be as strong as you are right now. You want to be lifted to the spot you are right now.
Right.
They happen for a reason. And it's hard. I know PT said it before, is in those storms or trials, try to find the joy in it.
That's right.
Why am I here? What am I to learn? How is this to make me grow to get to the next level? And I know for me, my faith wouldn't be as strong as it is right now if it wasn't for those times. Even looking back down the times where I didn't believe in Jesus or anything, I still had a hand of favor on me. There's a few times where I probably shouldn't be here right now.
Yeah.
Certain things that happened, I have no idea how I'm still alive.
Right.
But I'm here.
Yeah.
And then ending up in one of these seats,
yeah,
the walls started to come down.
Yeah.
And it was actually the power of a choice my wife gave me that got me here.
Awesome.
I remember sitting on the couch, I was probably hungover. So you got two options. You're to come to church, with that she mentioned, I didn't believe, could care less, or you could stay home with your daughters. Guess what I chose? To sit right over there and play on my phone for an hour. I did that for weeks, though, eventually. I always say, I want to get to heaven, I want to ask if I could go back to the beginning. So I don't know how many times PT's made you feel like he's talking directly and looking right at you.
Yeah.
I want to hear what I heard versus what maybe what he said.
Right.
To see if it's exactly the same or if it was the Holy Spirit working,
yeah,
and letting me hear what I needed to hear to project me forward to where I am now. So when it comes down to the power of choice, it's either we can quit where we're at or we can keep going, keep pushing forward. Either way, that choice is going to be hard. Pray on it. Seek him and know he'll keep pushing you forward and keep getting you where you need to go. So loving ourselves is going to make us want to choose to be better every day. All right, choosing to be better. I got a phone call the other day just from PT, just checking in on me, seeing how my notes were going. We kind of started talking about KCLC and the Impact Center again, of how it projected my life eventually. And we just wanted to reiterate how thankful I am, PT and Pastor Nita is, for leasing all the staff next door from then until now. How truly thankful and appreciative for everything they do. Because I truly mean it when I say my daughter Jordan is one of the reasons that got me here. When she would come home with her memory verse and stand there like this, I wish we had the video. And she's the loud little kid voice doing her memory verse. Right? Good thing we don't have it, because I'd probably start crying again. But in turn, right, we're affecting the next generation. That's affecting the community. The people that drop their kids off Monday through Friday that don't come to church. They found next door for a reason. They chose next door for a reason. And those little kids start tearing down those walls and getting it in their heart and bringing Jesus to them. Heck, they raised all three of my kids, basically. All three of them. If you've worked next door or served next door, why don't you go ahead and stand up for a second. Look around. See, they choose to serve next door. I know I couldn't. You hand me a crying baby that's not mine, I'm not going to know what to do. I'm probably going to look like a quarterback pitching it off to someone else. I don't have that capacity. I'm not ashamed to say it. But those people that go in and help our kids learn about Jesus every day, they choose that. They get to do that and can't be thankful enough. So there's power in choice, right? We choose ourselves, and then we choose our circle. Right? Who do we surround ourselves with? Is it non-believers that pursue sin every day? Or is it people that are going to help us get to the next level? Like-minded people. People that are in a position that I want to get to. While we were here in Florida, I was a part of two life groups, men's life groups, and I think I was the youngest one both times. But what saved me trial and error is talking to those older gentlemen that have gone through things in life, and I could bounce off my feelings and thoughts and get their advice and expertise on it. Save me some of those scars that they received, I could potentially avoid. Now, some of them may not have, I needed to acquire those scars to develop my story and keep going forward, but I at least could kind of expect what is going to be on the other side. All right, so like-minded people, people in a position that I want to achieve, people on the same journey. You may meet people on a Sunday or in, why can't I think of it? The serving class. Help me out. Growth track, there you go. People on the same journey that you can confide in and talk to. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Right? So power in choosing your circle. Who do you want to hang out with on a daily basis? Are they going to bring you up or bring you down? Right? And I mentioned life groups. Gives you people to confide in, to pray with. There may be times here on a Sunday where you may not feel comfortable coming up to the prayer team up front. But on that Thursday night men's group or life group, whatever you're in, may give you the confidence to put it out there and ask for prayer.
That's good. Come on.
Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." Good. Life groups also give you people to learn from. As I mentioned, learning from the gentlemen with experience. I'll say they're not old, they're experienced, seasoned. They're also going to help you grow. Easy now, easy. Don't know where that came from. That was a PT moment, I think. All right. They're going to help you grow. I remember when Lisa kind of gave me some ideas for this teaching and made me think back to the first life group we were with. At the time, my wife Samantha and I were kind of in dark career paths. She worked for Lifestream Behavioral Center, which she still does, but back then she was in the Access Center, right? It's called the Access Center, right? Mental illnesses, substance abuse. So she had people coming in just off the chain. Sometimes she was able to talk to them down. Sometimes they're wrestling on the floor, calling for more staff to help them out. I worked in an active gang penitentiary. In there, violence and respect ruled everything. So we're fighting every day. Dark world. She was better at not bringing that trauma home than I was. I would bring that home, and at the time, I would either get in a bottle or take my anger out on them. And it was one of the things I mentioned in that life group was trying to grow of how to not bring that darkness that we see every day home to our kids. That's what killed me the most. And it got to a point a few times, a few times where I would get loud. Like I said, it was outburst, uncontrollable. And I would see the face of my daughters. Broke me. So that's when I really knew I had to change. So then it led me to choosing accountability partners. I try and mention almost any time I teach. Easy. Every time I teach, it matters. It matters. A few people that you can truly put your trust in. Right? There are people that will lift you up, but people not afraid to bring you down. When you start drifting, going on your own ego, your own pride, starting to praise false idols, they will knock your legs out from under you and bring you back down to where you need to be. There are also people that will challenge you. My wife is one for me. When I was trying to pursue the next step in my career, we didn't necessarily want to leave Florida because everything that the Father's House and next door did for our family. And I found this job, it was a unit manager position. And I brought it up to my wife. And she's like, "Why would you want that?" I said, "Hey, it keeps us in Florida." And she just looked at me and said, "That's not you. You weren't built for that." And thankfully, I listened to her. Took a long time to develop listening to her, but luckily, I started to learn. Still working on it, but. In Proverbs 15:22, it says, "Without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed." So it's using your accountability partners, your life group, the people in your circle when you're going through trials or you have questions or you're starting to doubt yourself, lay it at Jesus' feet. Lay it at their feet. Let them pray over you, pray with you, seek their counsel. See, every day we're blessed with the ability to affect those around us. Right? In our homes, our occupation, our church. Like Pastor Tim said this morning, we were praying about sometimes when people come here on Sundays, this is home for them. This is the highlight of their week when they come through these doors. Yes, my wife, that basically used to be me. The only time you ever saw me smiling and talking is when I came here on a Sunday. Because then I'd go out into the world and there was darkness and evil again. So how we choose our attitude, our emotion, our responses in these walls matters. For those people that are struggling out there and they come in and see a smiling face. We've had that struggle looking for a home church in South Carolina. Gone to a couple where not comparing, but may not be as friendly, if you will, as here. No knock to them. but we were built and the foundation came from here. That's where our expectations were.
Okay.
Right? So we have the ability to affect our community, everyday life, just like I said, how we react to things, how we carry ourselves. Do you carry yourself in a way that maybe someone sees you? You have a religious type shirt on. I wear these shirts sometimes and say, Jesus is King. Do I carry myself in a way when I have that shirt on and say, hey, I can go for him for prayer?
Yeah.
Or I look like that stoic tattoo guy that you just want to walk away from. Right? So how we carry ourselves matters. Right? So we choose to be better. We got to choose to do better. We got to be the change. Break those generational curses that we fall back on. For me, alcoholism runs heavy on my father's side. And eventually, I broke that curse myself with the help of people here, helping my wife.
Right?
Not to toot my own horn, but it's the foundation of this place and the people that affected me that got me there. Right? This place has helped me so much, I can only choose to give back every opportunity they give me. See, every day we wake, we have the choice to either be a sheep or the shepherd. Right? We're in spiritual warfare every day. Every single day when we walk outside our homes, our jobs, this church once we leave here. The sheep are going to say yes to everything. Right? They're going to take the easy choice, the wide path, if you will. Right? They find comfort in the ways of the world. They don't really stand up for anything. I use this term for bikers when I was up north. Fair weather riders. Anyone heard that?
Yeah.
Right. They wear all the Harley gear, but they're only going to ride their motorcycle when it's -10% precipitation. Right. No cloud in the sky. Sometimes we do that as Christians. Right. We're praising his name, coming to church every Sunday when everything's good. And we slowly turn into that sheep when it gets hard.
Yeah.
Start blaming him and going to the things of this world to comfort us. Or we can be the shepherd, right? Doesn't always take the easy road. Doesn't make the easy decision. But he's going to make the right decision.
That's right.
Right? Leads from the front by example in his actions. Protects, guides, stands firm in their values. You're not going to push me down from what I believe in, no matter the cost. All right? Because God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Right? So all we do is one day at a time, we want to choose to be better. Right? Choose people. They are our heartbeat. Right? There's going to be failures and setbacks with everything. But we don't quit. We get back up. We keep going forward. Keep advancing his kingdom. That's what we choose to do on a daily basis. I'll leave you with Proverbs 24 and 16. For the righteous falls 7 times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. All right? So with that, in closing, I want to pray for the believers first. All right? If you are going through a low point in season in life, and you need to start taking back your power of choice, believing in yourself and surrounding yourself with accountability partners, getting a good life group, maybe changing your circle. If that is something you're going through, I want you to just raise your hand up right now. Right? If you need prayer for that, just changing what you need to do on a daily basis, choosing to do better. You just lift it up and put it back down. You don't need to keep it up. I also want to pray for you because it's a hard thing to do to be that change. Because those thoughts from the devil are going to weigh in your mind. What are they going to think of me? Is this person still going to talk to me? I go through it myself. But in the end, you got to remember what matters. Who you choose to be. Where you choose to go. So with every head down, every eye closed, I just want to pray for those believers. And if you didn't want to raise your hand, that's fine. I want to pray for you as well. Heavenly Father, those that need to change the course or the direction by simply just refocusing on you, maybe choosing a different way of living, focusing on you, Maybe something simple. They just need to change the way they choose and make their decisions. We just lay them at your feet this morning, that you just take the weight off their shoulders and let them know that you're right there by their side. And then you're there no matter what. You're going to meet them where they are. All they need to do is turn to you. And you rewire their mindset to focus on you and choose themselves and choose what matters. We thank you and we love and we pray all these things in your name. Amen. And back to the power of choice. I want to give those that maybe never submitted their life to Jesus, I want to give you the most opportunity, the most powerful choice you can make in saying yes to Jesus, accepting him as your Lord and Savior. So with every head down, every heart closed, if that's you, if you have that heavy feeling in your chest, your heart's beating a mile a minute, I just want you to lift your hand up, right back down. Thank you. Thank you in the back. Just think on it. Have I truly made that decision? I want to lead you in this prayer. No one should have to say it alone, so church, say it after me so we can say it together as a family. Once again, too, if you didn't raise your hand, that's fine. I remember when I gave my heart to the Lord, I couldn't get over those feelings myself. I didn't raise my hand. But my heart, I knew it was the right decision. So Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for loving me and meeting me where I am. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Make me new. I believe that you died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. I confess with my mouth and in my heart that you are my Lord and Savior. And for the rest of my days, I want to live my best life knowing you and loving you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you said that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus, it's the best decision you will ever make, and we would like to celebrate with you. We have some tools to help you on your journey. Simply text DECIDED to 352-329-2301. That's 352-329-2301. Join us next time as we continue to love God, love people, and make disciples.